42, so we'll start. Okay, we'll call this meeting of the Mobile Source Committee to order. Have the roll call?
Good morning. On the roll call for the Board of Directors Mobile Source Committee meeting of December 2nd, 2015. Director Avalos?
Here.
Director Bates? Director Canepa? Director Hudson?
Here.
Director Kim? Director Miley? Director Mitchoff?
Here.
Director Pepper?
Here.
Committee Chair Haggerty? And Chair Groom? We have not yet established a quorum.
Okay. We'll get started anyway. So you rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any public comments? Item 2? No. Okay, so we'll skip item 3 and 4. So we need a quorum for those, and we'll go on to item 5. Air Resources Board and Department of Finance audits.
Okay, good morning, Vice Chair Pepper. This morning, you'll be starting off the meeting with a presentation led by Anthony Fournier, who will be leading us through the results of the most recent ARB and Department of Finance audits of the stateside program. So those include the Carl Moyer program, the Goods Movement program, and the Lower Mission School Bus program. And without stealing Anthony's thunder, I would like to point out that we did receive a very positive result, which is very much due to Anthony's leadership and the excellent work of his team. And so with that, Anthony will be leading us through this presentation.
All right, thanks, Karen. Good morning, Chairperson Haggerty, Vice Chair Pepper, members of the Mobile Source Committee. This morning I'll be presenting agenda item number 5, which, as Karen said, is an informational item. It's an update on the recently concluded program review by the California Air Resources Board and fiscal audit by the Department of Finance. I'll begin with some background information, then I'm going to describe the scope of the program review, and then I'm going to turn the presentation over to Doug Thompson from the Air Resources Board, who's here today to provide a summary of the ARB's results from their review. Now, as you all know, the Air District administers several state-funded incentive programs through the Incentives Division. Some of these programs have been around for almost 20 years now. We administer the programs in accordance with the guidance provided by the Air Resources Board in order to select and fund emission reduction projects in the region. Now, the California Health and Safety Code provides the ARB program oversight responsibilities for these funding sources, and as part of these oversight responsibilities, ARB conducts regular program reviews of local district programs that receive the state funding. Now, the last program review for the district's programs was conducted in 2007 and 2008. Now, during the reviews, ARB looks for, they review the Air District's policies, procedures, and projects for compliance with the California Health and Safety Code, ARB program guidelines and advisories, program grant award authorization documents, and local air district requirements. So they cover the programmatic review portion of the process, and they work with the Department of Finance, who conducts the fiscal compliance audit to make sure our accounting records and practices are in compliance. So this current review covered over $145 million in expenditures over 4 different state-funded programs that were with expenditures ranging from multiple fiscal years and covering thousands of engines and pieces of equipment. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go a little bit more into detail on the 4 funding programs that were reviewed as part of this process. The first one's the Carl Moyer program. The district has participated in the Carl Moyer program since it was created in 1998. The program's voluntary and aims to reduce emissions from primarily heavy-duty diesel engines. We target surplus emission reductions from a range of equipment, so on-road trucks, off-road construction equipment, agricultural equipment, marine vessels, locomotives, basically anything that's diesel-powered. Now, the Mobile Source Incentive Funds, the district funding source authorized by Assembly Bill 923, And this allowed us to collect an additional $2 motor vehicle registration surcharge fee that we can use for Carl Moyer-type projects. We also use the MSIF funds to meet our match requirements in order to accept the state funds. And it's those funds that were used to meet the match requirement that were reviewed as part of the process. So the scope for the Carl Moyer program covered fiscal years 2009-10 through 2012-13, during which time we expended over $43.5 million to reduce emissions from 585 diesel engines and retire over 6,400 light-duty vehicles. The second program in the review is the Lower Emission School Bus Program. Now, the Air District has been funding emission reduction projects for school buses for over 20 years. Through the Lower Emission School Bus Program, we've received several rounds of state and federal funding and also allocated a lot of our own local funds through either the TFCA program in the past and more recently the MSAF funds to replace and retrofit older diesel buses and also replace CNG tanks on existing buses. Now, the scope of this review covered fiscal year 2008-2009 through 2012-13. It covered over $8.9 million in expenditures and $27 million in local funds, which collectively were used to retrofit 502 diesel buses, replace 168 buses, and replace 80 CNG tanks. The third program as part of the review is the Proposition 1B Goods Movement Bond Program. This program was created in 2006 when California voters authorized the legislature to appropriate $1 billion in bond funding to quickly reduce air pollution and health risk from freight movement activities along California's priority trade corridors. We've been administering the program here at the district since 2008, and the scope of this review covered fiscal years 2007-2008 through 2013-14. During this time, we had expended over $90.4 million in funding to retrofit 930 trucks, replace over 1,200 trucks, and install shore power at 12 berths at the Port of Oakland. The final program that was included in the review is the Air Quality Improvement Program, or AQIP. This is a smaller program. It was created in 2007 by Assembly Bill 118 with the goal of reducing emissions and getting funding clean vehicle and equipment projects to improve air quality and reduce toxic air pollutants. The scope of this review covered the 2010-11 fiscal year, and we had expended $2.8 million to conduct three technology demonstration projects, two with locomotives, one on a marine vessel, and to implement a program to replace 411 gasoline-powered lawnmowers with electric lawnmowers. So this slide summarizes the timeline for the program review and the audit. So we were notified by ARB in July of last year that we were next up on their audit schedule. We kicked off the process officially with an entrance interview with ARB and DOF staff on October 20th of last year. This was immediately followed by the start of ARB's on-site field work here at the district. They were here for about a week. The field work included staff interviews, a review of district policies and procedures, and a lot of copying and scanning of a significant number of projects and program files that we had. ARB took those files back with them to Sacramento, and over the subsequent months, they reviewed it in detail, and we had regular biweekly calls with the program review team to go over, provide any clarification, and answer any questions that they would have. So it was quite a long process. They also conducted some in-field inspections so that they could confirm that the equipment and the projects that we had actually funded matched what was in our records and what was in their databases. We had our exit interview with ARB on August 6th, and that was followed by the issuance of the final audit report on August 31st, and that's attached to your staff reports for reference. Now, the DOF portion of the audit, their field work was conducted over three visits to the district over January, March, and April of this year. That included interviews of grant staff, fiscal staff, management, detailed review of accounting practices, policies and procedures, as well as detailed review of expenditures of project funds, administrative funds, match funding, and earned interest. We had an exit interview with the Department of Finance on June 8th, And during that meeting, they had verbally informed us that they had not identified any findings from their audit process. So right now we're still waiting for them to issue their final report. It's in their upper management for review. So we expect it any day now, and we'll forward that to the committee as soon as it's available. So with that, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Doug Thompson, who's going to give us an overview of ARB's results from their program review.
Good morning, I'm Doug Thompson. I manage the incentives oversight section at the Air Resources Board. And I'm glad to join you this morning and provide some results of the program review, which come termed as findings, recommendations, and commendable efforts. Findings are district practices that are found inconsistent with statutes, guidelines, or other program requirements. After our process of reviewing over 40 project files, conducting the process interviews here, conducting 6 on-site equipment inspections, the Air Resources Board has no findings to report. Really, that's a pretty remarkable outcome for incentive programs as large and diverse as those you're implementing here at the district. As Anthony mentioned, over $145 million in projects within the scope of our review. And that result for a district as large as this one is unprecedented and indicates both the maturity of your programs and the care and professionalism with which your staff conducts them. It's not easy implementing incentive programs. There are several programs, a lot of money involved. Each program has its own set of guidelines in response to statutory requirements, and it's quite a task to implement them as successfully as you have. Our reports may also offer recommendations where changes in practice are not required for compliance, but may improve program efficiency or transparency. And we did offer 2 recommendations following our review of project files for the Carl Moyer program. In 3 of the reviewed files, our staff found instances of incomplete information that required follow-up. All 3 occurrences were promptly addressed by district staff. We also found 1 instance of an ineligible project cost being included in a project evaluation by district staff, but district staff identified the error at the time of invoicing and only eligible costs were paid. So those were really minor issues, not systemic problems. So we offered recommendations on the slide there in the spirit of making an outstanding program even more efficient and transparent, and thus suggested that additional project file review procedures may help ensure completeness, and more detailed breakdowns of project costs would reduce the risk of including ineligible costs in calculations. And district staff soon took steps to augment internal procedures in ways that respond to the recommendations. ARB program reviews may also cite commendable efforts that go above and beyond program implementation requirements, and our report commends the district for a successful development of electronic filing systems for the Carl Moyer and Goods Movement programs. The systems enabled well-organized project files that aided our review procedures. Our school bus team also commends the district for the completeness of its lower emission school bus project files and its effective and efficient implementation of the program. And our goods movement team found that the district should be commended for its quick implementation and funding back in 2012 when you replaced over 350 drayage trucks with much cleaner equipment. And that was achieving early emission reductions ahead of ARB's Phase 2 drayage truck regulation and was in addition to the implementation and funding of the heavy-duty grants coming out of the Goods Movement Program. So those are our results, and like the district, we're awaiting completion of the Department of Finance fiscal audit, which is expected soon. Indications are that will also bear good news. We offer our congratulations and appreciation for your successful implementation of state incentive programs. And Anthony and I would be glad to take any questions.
Are there any questions? I don't know if this would be as part of the audit, but I do want to ask a question on the school bus program. I think the slide showed that we've replaced 80 tanks. Is that right? How are we doing with that? I remember there was some controversy around that.
Those 80.
Like, how many buses have we bought?
Total? Yeah, we can get back to you with the total numbers. The numbers that were on the slides were just for the period that was reviewed as part of the program review.
Okay.
So we've done a lot more tanks since then.
Can we get an? It doesn't have to be a big staff report, but could I get just something on that?
Yeah.
I'd like to know how many buses we bought, how many tanks we've retrofitted, and then I would also like to know if there's any. How do I say this? What I want to get at is, I've always been concerned, and maybe I shouldn't be, that there's districts out there that don't know that those tanks need to be replaced. Do they know that?
There's a requirement as part of their CHP certification for the buses that those tanks are inspected. So,
if they brought it in to be certified with CHP, they would catch it.
Yeah, they would have to. The tanks need to be replaced every 14 years, and we still have money out there for that currently.
Yeah.
The folks who came to visit us before, I think we've taken care of most of their tanks, but it's an ongoing cycle because they come due every 14 years, basically.
Okay.
So,
okay. All right. Yeah, just if I could just get some information on that. Does anybody else have any questions? I mean, I'm sorry, I walked in the middle of the presentation, but I didn't hear any concerns. So, I think that's pretty good. Sounds like you guys have done a great job, as this board expects. And I mean that because you guys have set the bar so high, and the leadership of the Air District has done that. And I would say, as somebody who's been here 19 years, we've come a long way. And really, to the staff and the leadership of the Air District, you've done a great job. I'm not sure that...
We would concur.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, I just have one question. On slide 7, the Air Quality Improvement Program. So the scope, it shows how much money was spent, and it says conducted 3 technology demonstrations and replaced 411 lawnmowers. So is that... if I divide the $2,890,000 by 411, those are really expensive lawnmowers. So I assume that the money was that maybe the technology demonstrations or other things were going on besides that.
The locomotive was quite a bit more expensive.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the combined total for all the projects. The lawnmower project was. It preceded the program that we've actually developed here. So this was kind of a pilot project that we ran. And it's actually led to our current very successful lawn and garden program. The highlight here, though, really is that locomotive project, that Tier 4 locomotive in Richmond, one of our highly impacted communities, is, I think, still the cleanest locomotive on the rails in California today. It's the only Tier 4 certified locomotive in service. Regular service in the state of California. So that's something that we're very proud of.
Yeah. Is that being used? So that was a demonstration. Mm-hmm. Has that been, what you learned there, has that been put forth for other projects as well?
Yeah, Director Pepper, the Richmond Railroad has continued to operate that locomotive. They're putting into regular service now, even after the demonstration had been completed. So we will see in there taking one of their older units off the rails. So we're going to see a longer benefit from that project going forward. And just to get back to your question on lawnmowers, the lawnmower program was about $182,000 of that total.
Okay. That's good.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Great job by staff. We always have more fun when you guys screw up, so we're a little disappointed today. All right, with that, I'm going to jump back real quick to item 3, looking for an approval on the minutes of October.
Second.
Moved by Hudson, second by Avalos. Any objection to that motion? Motion will pass. 5 ayes. And then go to item 4. Did you have a presentation on that?
Yes, we absolutely do. Good morning, Chair Hagerty.
Good morning.
This next item is approval of items over 100,000. Of course, we also have a complete listing of the projects that have also been approved that are less than that. And we have 8 projects that are requesting approval over $800,000 today. And taking us through the presentation is Yuzhang Liu.
Good morning, Chairperson Hagerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee. Today I will present to you agenda item number 4, which is the consideration for approval of projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000. I'll start by providing some background information, then describe the proposed projects, and conclude with staff's recommendations. The district has participated in the CalMoya program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and aims to reduce emissions from heavy-duty diesel engines. The program is jointly administered by the California Air Resources Board and the local air districts. It provides funding to both private and public entities. The Mobile Source Incentive Fund is the district's funding source authorized by the Assembly Bill 923, which allows the district to collect additional $2 DMV registration fee. These fees can be used to fund eligible CalMoya program projects. The Transportation Fund for Clean Air, or TFCA, is funded by a $4 DMV registration fee, which is authorized by the Health and Safety Code. On February 18, the District Board of Directors approved participation in Year 17 of the CalMoya program and authorize the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grant awards up to $100,000. For your consideration today are 7 projects with individual grant awards over $100,000. This project would replace 13 pieces of road equipment and 2 marine engines. For proposed allocation, about $1.9 million. This project would result in more than 10.3 tons of emission reduction per year. More information on these projects can be found in Attachment 1 of the staff report. This chart represents the Year 17 CalMoya program funding allocated as of November 20th, including those being considered today. This chart shows allocation broken down by equipment category and by county. The funding allocated for this project is about $2.4 million. For more detailed information regarding this project can be found in Attachment 2 of the staff report. These next slides represent the total CalMoya program funding allocated since 2009. Similar to the previous charts, these charts are broken down by equipment category and by county, for a total around $94 million. For the TFCA program, on May 6, the board allocated about $24.5 million in TFCA funding for eligible projects in fiscal year 2016 and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments for project with grant awards up to $100,000. On May 6 and July 29, the board adopted the TFCA policies and evaluation criteria. In addition to the CalMoya projects that I mentioned earlier, we have 1 TFCA project with a proposed grant awards over $100,000 for your consideration today. This is a project to install 98 electric vehicle charging station at a new parking garage in the city of Santa Clara. The facility will have more than 3,000 parking spaces that serve multiple business complexes and the general public. The project will reduce about 0.21 ton of criterion pollutant per year. More information about this project can be found in Attachment 1 of the staff report. This chart shows the distribution of the TFCA funding for eligible projects evaluated since July 1st. The chart shows allocations broken down by equipment category and by county. The total amount of funding in each chart is about $3.9 million. More information on this project can be found in Attachment 4 of the staff report. In conclusion, we request that the committee recommends the Board of Directors approve CalMOIA program and TFCA projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000 as identified in Attachment 1 and authorize the executive officer to enter into agreements for the recommended projects. This concludes my presentation. We're happy to answer any question you might have.
Any questions? Director Mitchell?
Thank you. On slide 3, under Mobile Source Incentive Fund, on the second bullet, LESBP, what does that stand for?
That stands for the Lower Emission School Bus Program.
Okay. Thank you very much. A thought for the future for staff to consider, I know our board has we have a funny no acronym policy, and my point being, on our agendas, we always have a page of acronyms, and it's something I'm not finding on the website. So for consideration, maybe next year, because I know we toss these around, and I was just looking at the staff report, and some of it goes back and forth, but if it would be very helpful to the public, I think, if we just listed acronyms. It's the same each time, and it's just part of an agenda. Thank you very much.
Do we do that?
We generally do it for our board meetings as part of that packet, but we can start to include it for the committee meetings as well. It's not...
Yeah, it's just a standard...
Yeah, exactly.
Because if people are in the audience and they don't understand sometimes, and members on the board may not.
It's a good practice, and I think we should probably do it across our committees.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Vice Chair Pepper.
Oh, I just had a question about the EV charging project. Do you know where that is? Who Santa Clara Property Owner 1 LLC is?
Yeah, I don't have the exact address here, but it is a private developer in the city of Santa Clara. We can get you more information on that. And the site is currently under construction, so it's a new development.
Okay. Is it Santa Clara University or?
No, I don't believe it's with the university.
I'd be interested to know what it is.
I don't know the address either, but it's close to Highway 101, I believe, and it serves several business complex.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's a big project by...
Yeah, it's within 1 mile to Highway 101.
It's a large project. It's going to involve about 3,000 parking spaces, and they're looking to provide chargers in up to 6% of them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, once you find the address, if you let me know.
We'd be glad to email that to you. Yeah.
So on our ride over, I was briefed by my staff member to keep my mouth shut and not complain about how Alameda County didn't do very well. So I won't. But I will say, have we or could you reach out to our general services people to discuss with them? I mean, we do a lot of stuff in relationship to, reduction. We have a very, very large sustainability program. And I'm just not sure you guys are talking to them and they're not talking to you.
Yeah, we actually...
Well, I would say, Director Haggerty, that relative to Alameda County, we're in pretty good contact with them. And they were actually one of the first agencies to come in and take advantage of the vehicle program. So we are continuing to work with them.
At least there's a dialogue.
Absolutely, ongoing dialogue with them. Doug Bond in your general services pool area. We talk with them all the time, but we're happy to maybe expose that, give you... I think we've provided recently for your office, just some kind of more visibility into the outreach we are doing in Alameda County. We're also looking then to step up and talk to more of your agricultural folks out there.
No, I was told not to bring that up. So but the other thing that kind of dawned on me, the ACE train moves through two counties. are we collaborating? Because I don't know how old the engines. Well, I could figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've worked on the engines, but they're probably about 15 years old now.
Yeah.
And they probably should be looking at retrofit. And I'm just wondering, are we working with ACE?
Yeah, Director Haggerty, we've reached out to the ACE staff a number of times. We haven't had any positive feedback from them on whether or not they want to turn over their trains or engines. We definitely have funding if they're interested. It's just we have not heard that interest from them.
I'd like to know who you're talking to or about that. I mean, you know, ACE is, I mean, it's a very successful, but they...
So relative
to the money.
Yeah. Relative to our programs, we could give them about 85% of the cost of the replacement of the locomotives there, and it's still quite a large nut, I think, for them to crack. I think they've got about 10 or so trains.
Could you maybe send an email to Stacy Mortensen?
Yep, absolutely.
Director directly, and would you also tell her that I've asked you to do that?
Yes, absolutely.
And that, you know, you've reached out in the past and you haven't been very successful, because that's really troubling to me as a board member to ACE, that they're not working with you. And it seems the collaboration between this agency and the San Joaquin Air District, you may be able to pay for it.
I mean,
they could pay the 15%, and maybe we pay 50, they pay 50, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a deal to be made there, and ACE could certainly use that help. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. With that, there's a recommendation before us.
I'll move staff recommendation.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, hold on. Now, I have a motion by Hudson. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Pepper. Under discussion, Director Mitchell.
Thank you, and I appreciate you bringing up Alameda County, because I guess my attention wandered during that portion of it. I just want to make sure, do you reach out to all the general services agencies? And okay, so everybody's being talked to. Because I know in our county we've just done a whole bunch of clean air, natural gas stuff. So, and I'm looking at this, it's probably proportional to population, too. I mean, you don't plan it that way, but it seems that may be how it's going. But to be at 4% compared to Alameda at 14%, I don't think we're that far below population-wise. So I need to do some work out in my area to... And do you reach out to the bus companies too?
So how it works is the most successful manner in which we outreach to the majority's agencies is we actually send them postcards and letters when their registrations come up, letting them know that there's funding available to replace the vehicles. And we also then do outreach directly to the cities, to the counties. We outreach through both the Clean Cities and through our programs. We have standing mailing lists, and lots of these agencies have gotten grants from us in the past. So
I see.
We work with them pretty closely. But one thing I would say is that down through the years, one of the most successful mechanisms we've had for outreach is actually help from members of the board of directors. So if you've got suggestions on who we could talk to, we're always happy to take those.
What would be helpful, at least to this member, is when you is an email. You know, we sent out postcards to X, Y, and Z agencies, and then I can make phone calls. Director Hudson can, perhaps other directors in their various jurisdictions, to their, you know, I can call the mayor of some city, or I can call the bus people in some jurisdiction. That would be really helpful. I know it's extra work, and I appreciate if you can do that, because that's a reminder to us.
Yeah. Happy to make sure that happens.
Thank you. And thank you, Director Haggerty, for bringing that to their attention.
Not a problem. Okay, so anybody else? Put that out of motion on the floor. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion passes 6 ayes. I guess the rest are excused. We are now going to item 6.
Great. So this next item is also a informational item that has two parts. Similar to the audit that is conducted for the stateside program, on the TFCA side, we conduct the audit on an annual basis. And so today you'll be hearing the results of that audit that was conducted for projects that closed out by June 30th of 2014. The second part of this report has to do with The findings on the expenditures and cost effectiveness. It's for a different set of projects, so I do want to point that out. These are for projects that closed out most recently as of June 30th of this past year. And also I do want to point out that two things. One is that when this package was mailed out, the summary report was not available, so I apologize for that, but it has been included here today, so it is at your places. And secondly, for the second part of this presentation having to do with expenditures and effectiveness, we learned after we submitted the staff report, in the staff memo, we point out that two of the six shuttle projects were found to be not cost effective. These are part of the 14 cycle. We learned later that actually four of the six were found not to be cost effective, and I know that we've had a lot of discussion with this committee about that issue. We have since raised the cost effectiveness limit for shuttle projects up to $175,000, where it's currently at, and three of those four projects would have been well under that threshold. So with those two caveats, I would like to introduce Ken Mack, who will be leading us through the first part, and then Chenfeng Wang, who will be leading us through the second part.
Good morning, Chair Haggerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee. Today I'll be presenting the results of Audit 16, which encompasses TFCA regional projects that were paid in full or closed out during fiscal year ending 2014. And then, as Karen mentioned, Chenfeng Wang will present the fiscal year ending 2015 report on TFCA expenditures and effectiveness. There we go. All right, so here's a quick overview of the presentation. I'll begin with some background on TFCA and then go over Audit 16 in more detail, including the process, its findings, and compliance trend. Okay, no technical difficulty here.
Difficulties.
Very quick.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, thank you. Could go, right there. So first, a quick background on TFCA. It is funded by a $4 surcharge on DMV registrations, and the funding is split with 60% of the funding being awarded by the Air District and the remaining 40% being passed forward to the congestion management agencies in each of the nine counties. I'd like to point out that both the audit and the expenditure and effectiveness report are limited to the regional fund and Air District projects, so the information being presented here today is covers only the 60% portion of the fund. Finally, we are required by the Health and Safety Code to both perform the audit and hold a public hearing to review the expenditure and effectiveness report. Slide, thank you. So moving on to Audit 16, on February 18, the board approved the selection of Gilbert Associates to provide audit services for the Air District. And Gilbert reviewed the financial and compliance objectives for the 28 regional and Air District projects that closed in fiscal year ending 2014. And these projects amounted to over $10 million in TFCA funds expended. Fieldwork and follow-up for this audit was conducted from May to November of this year. So I want to point out that the audits that Gilbert performs are primarily focused on basic contractual obligations, as well as assessing whether TFCA funds were used in accordance with program objectives. The rest of the presentation will focus on the results of the audit, and the findings and summary report can be found in attachment one of the staff report. Next slide, please. Thank you. In summary, there are two types of findings for project sponsors: late reports and missing reports. For Audit 16, there were a total of 20 late reports across five projects, and there was a single missing annual report for one other project. So meeting the reporting requirements have been an ongoing challenge for project sponsors, and in response, we here at the Air District have taken some steps to improve our administrative procedures, and these steps include streamlining the reporting process. So we recently begun beta testing a new online submittal system for progress reports. And this system will make it easier and more convenient for project sponsors to comply with their reporting requirements. We're continuing to improve this system, and we'll make sure to incorporate feedback from project sponsors in this process. We've also increased the amount and frequency of reminders and calls to project sponsors regarding the upcoming reporting deadlines, so they're well aware well ahead of time when a report is due. And on the other end, we've also strengthened our penalties and prohibit project sponsors from receiving future funding for both current and new projects until all audit findings are corrected. So since beginning to take these steps about 5 years ago, we've seen a drastic improvement in findings, and I'll give more information on that when we discuss the audit trends. Before going on to that, though, I'm happy to report that there were no findings on the Air District projects or administration. All right, so for the trends, as you can see from the graphs here, we've seen a steady improvement in the number of audit findings since beginning to take steps to address the ongoing challenge of the reporting compliance. Here on the left, we have a graph of the percent of projects and project sponsors that have had audit findings in the past 4 audits. And as you can see, this has been steadily decreasing. And we expect this trend to continue as future audits will have fewer of the older projects, which, as you can see from the graph on the right, is where we get the bulk of our findings. 2010 is when we began taking steps to improve our administrative procedures, and we've seen a huge improvement in the reporting compliance of projects funded since then. I'm also pleased to report that in the last reporting cycle, 29 projects that were required to submit a report, all except one submitted their report on time, and one that did miss the deadline submitted their report only 1 day late. Finally, I want to mention that Gilbert had originally planned to attend this meeting on the 14th to answer questions. However, since the meeting date was moved, they had a scheduling conflict that prevented them from attending. And this concludes the audit portion of the presentation, and I'm now going to hand it over to Chen Fan, who will go over the expenditure and effectiveness report.
Thank you, Ken. For the second part of this presentation, I will be covering the TFC expenditures, emission reductions, and cost effectiveness of 29 Air District sponsored and regional fund projects and programs that were fully paid and closed out in fiscal year ending 2015. Additional information about these projects can be found in attachment 2 of the staff report. The amount of TFC expenditures in fiscal year ending 2015 totaled approximately $7.6 million. This includes $3.4 million investing in regional fund projects, nearly $3.5 million for Air District sponsored programs, and about $765,000 in administrative and audit costs. With respect to effectiveness and air quality benefits, we evaluated the reductions in particulate matter, nitrogen oxides, and reactive organic gases, and found that over their lifetime, these 29 projects and programs will reduce an estimate of 125 tons of criteria emissions and almost 63,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions. This chart shows the relative distribution of funding by project category. Both the smoking vehicle program and the shuttle project category account for about 1/3 of the expenditures, and the other projects and programs account for the remaining 1/3. Next. This table summarizes the expenditures, emissions reduced, and cost effectiveness for each project and program category. For each of these 29 projects and programs, we conducted both pre- and post-project evaluation of cost effectiveness, which reflects cost per ton of weighted emissions reduced. For these 29 projects and programs, the combined average lifetime cost effectiveness was approximately $50,000 per ton of weighted emissions reduced. Next slide. In terms of key findings of the report, staff determined that TFC funds were allocated to eligible projects and programs that are consistent with the authorizing legislation. Also, 24 of the 29 projects and programs were found to be cost-effective. The ones that were not cost-effective were the smoking vehicle program and 4 of the 6 shuttle projects, as Karen mentioned. In the case of shuttle projects, the Air District has been taking steps to address this challenge, including increasing the limited cost-effectiveness. And with respect to the smoking vehicle program, the cost effectiveness was over $300,000 per ton of emissions reduced. This is a result of a conservative approach based on the reported repair of 82 vehicles. Of the nearly 500 vehicles responded to the survey. Alternatively, if we had extrapolated the percentage of vehicles repaired to the about 3,000 smoking vehicles reported, then we will have a much better cost-effective number. So staff is exploring options to refine the methodology for this project type to capture all the emissions reductions. Finally, in addition to reducing criteria pollutant emissions, this project also provides other benefits, such as conserving energy, easing traffic congestion, expanding access to public transportation, and improving physical fitness and the safety of the public. So more detailed information about the expenditure and the effectiveness of these 29 projects and programs can be found in attachment 2 of the staff report. And this concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions? I had one, but I lost it. That's what happens when you get old. Oh, I know what it was. What exactly is the one of the programs that we sponsor? The smoking vehicle program, what exactly is that these days, since it's such a large program?
Sure. It's it's a growing combination of things. So historically, this program, there's an 800 number. I believe now there's a widget and a web-based app. It's essentially when the public or Air District employees see a smoking vehicle, they report. So it's the reporting mechanism. And so this essentially funds the administrative portion of running that program, which then includes a radio room. They receive the call, then they notify the person who was allegedly had a smoking, whose vehicle is registered in that name. They send them a notice. It is a stern letter that basically lets them know that it is prohibited to have a smoking vehicle in California, and provides information on what the options are in terms of repair, in terms of participating in our scrappage program. So there's a variety of options for folks that receive those notices. It also offers an opportunity for folks to participate in a survey, and what we're seeing is out of the 3,000 or more smoking vehicles that were reported last year, roughly less than 500 of them responded to the survey, and that's where they let us know what they do. And so the response that we saw, 18% said, yes, I did fix my vehicle, and the other larger percentage essentially probably said either I didn't repair my vehicle or it wasn't smoking. And so it's that. It also does, I believe, cover some of the other kinds of on-road enforcement activities, mostly having to do with the port.
Heavy-duty trucks, and then a portion of this is pegged to our commuter benefits program. We haven't done quite finished the emissions evaluation there. So we've basically lumped the funding that's been expended and compared its cost effectiveness to the programs that we do have the emissions reduction standards for. So once the cost effect, the commuter benefits program comes in there, and we can match our activities to the emissions reductions there, the cost effectiveness numbers will improve here quite significantly. The other point I think that should be made is that we, in terms of the vehicles that are repaired, we give them about a 15% emissions credit. That means if you have a smoking vehicle and you repair it, we say, well, that's made the emissions from that vehicle about 15% better. That's very, very conservative. Most other programs in the state probably give 100% credit for that. But we've done some research, and that's traditionally how this program has been looked at. So one of the things we're also doing is we're looking at two things. We're looking at some of the cost effectiveness factors for this program, and we're also looking at whether this program is indeed, you know, necessary or warranted anymore. We're feeling like we're in a phase now where we can begin to scale it back. Just for a bit of historical perspective, about 5 years ago, 76% of the calls to our radio room, that's where we get complaints about you know, air quality problems, 76% of them were about smoking vehicles. We're down now in the low 20s. And what's happening is our inspectors do patrol for these vehicles, and we're seeing less and less of them on the highway, which is a function of the fact that, as we all know, our fleet is getting cleaner. So this program, we are looking at it, and we are considering its future. Right now, we think it's probably a good time to start to begin to scale back the investment here. But I think we're going to continue it for another year or two just to see, is that trend actually continuing?
Yeah, that's the reason I asked the question. And I looked at, I think it was $2.1 million spent. I grabbed your number of 3,000 vehicles, and I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's essentially, we're spending $720 a vehicle on basically sending them a letter and then asking them to follow up on a survey. I'm not sensing a big bang for the buck there. And I think it is, I think this committee would probably want to see that program revamped and maybe spend the money somewhere where we would get a bigger bang for the buck, vehicle buyback, something like that. I don't know. But just as one member of this board, I would like staff to come back with some sort of a discussion on that in the future, sometime next year.
I think we will take that as direction. We're now going through our budgeting process, and we had planned to scale this back, but I do think a full report out to the committee talking about all of the elements that are in that program, and then giving you a full breadth of kind of what we're doing there is something that you had asked for before, and we were remiss in doing it. So let's take that as direction and bring it back to you in one of our meetings in the new year, so we can give you a full picture of what that program actually does for us.
Okay, Director Mitchoff.
Thank you. And to follow up on that, and I know we can't be the world's policeman, but are there any repeat offenders? Do we track that? I know, you know, one person seeing a smoking vehicle doesn't mean that somebody else is going to call in or even know about it. But to go along with the cost effectiveness, if there's continual repeaters, and I don't know that there are, perhaps enforcement efforts need to be within the report you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, either we do or we don't. Thank
yeah.
you.
So to give you a bit of historical perspective, again, on this program, when the Air District started in 1955, we actually did traffic stops for smoking vehicles, and that was part of our purview. So we actually had a smoking vehicle patrol, and our inspectors pulled people over and said, hey, your vehicle is smoking. Obviously, that became a little bit more dangerous as time went on. So responsibility for enforcement now rests with the California Highway Patrol. How we actually get the addresses and registrations of these vehicles is we're linked to Alameda County's police department, and that's how we send out the notices. So we can look at that and provide that information to the CHP, but I'm not certain whether that would be actionable or not for them.
And And correct. I was just wondering if there had been repeat offenders and tracking, if something had been done, if the CHP followed up or what have you. Again, that's more cost intensive, and that may not be something we want to spend that money on. But
It's a good point, and let us look into it.
Dr. Pepper?
I was just wondering if you cooperate with the DMV on that as well, because if you have the license plate, when someone tries to renew their registration, are those cars, do they also get that nice little note that they have to do the smog check, and then, you know, do they pass it?
Relative to DMV, the information obviously on the registration comes through Alameda County from the police department to us, but relative to their re-registering those vehicles, all those vehicles are required to comply with the smog check program. So, and we know that some of them are not going back and getting registrations, right?
Yeah.
That's why we've proposed a bill in the legislature that'll be heard this year to up the enforcement, basically on vehicles. Smoking vehicles like these that are not getting re-registered. So if they do go back and go through the DMV process, they are required to pass smog check. If they don't, we're working on a solution that will hopefully provide the California Highway Patrol some additional resources to go after these guys.
Okay, thank you. Then I have one acronym question. What is BRVP?
That is our bike rack voucher program.
Okay.
And I apologize for the. We'll go ahead and update that for next time.
That's fine. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Hudson. Any committee member comments? Looks like we will be meeting on the 28th of January at 9:30. I'd wish all of you happy holidays, and we are adjourned.
Happy holidays to you all.